I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Yes, time really flies. We are coming to the end of 2010. Do you realize that? We are already into the first week of the year, of the last month of the year, and then there are yet 3 Sundays or so, and then that's it. We will have come to the end of the year 2010. What have we done for the Lord? And remember our theme verse for the year, that we may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. How close have we been adhering to this theme? My dear friends, are we experiencing greater power from the Lord, even the power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ? I trust that we will all be able to say that this year has been a very blessed year, that I've realized more of the power of the Lord Jesus Christ in my life, and that I have been a better witness than in the year before. But if we have not done well, my dear friends, let us resolve by the end of the year that we will be able to do better next year. Now we look forward to the Christmas Day worship service on 25th December, and then of course the Lord's Day service, and then before that, the Sunday before, we are going to have our Christmas celebration, and there will be a Christmas lunch of course, and don't forget the watch night service on the 31st of December. What are we doing on New Year's Eve? Why don't we come to the house of the Lord and spend the last few hours of the year with the Lord? Why don't we do that? So pray and prepare for the worship services that are ahead of us. The subject this morning is A True Witness of the True Light, John chapter 1, verse 6 to verse 12. Please turn to that passage and keep your finger there. A True Witness of the True Light. Verse 6 says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Here was a man with a mission. He was sent from God. Now, what is a man with a mission? In the marketing world, a man with a mission is one who has a mission to market his product or his service. And his mission will be to take away the market shares of the competitors and to try to enhance or to increase the market share of the product he is, or product or services that he's marketing. And to carry out his mission, of course, he must have backing. He must have authorization by those who are sending him, perhaps a company of some people who have sent him. He must have been commissioned. He must have been authorized. And then for him to carry out his mission, he must have a message. Now, in the case of people in the marketing world, of course, the person who is doing the marketing must have a message that encourages to make use of the product that he's marketing. And the message should also go out to tell people why they should not be making use of the products or services produced by competitors. So you see, a person with a mission, first of all, must have a mission. You cannot go out to do a mission without a mission. You must have a mission. And then the person representing an organization or some people must be represented by those organizations or by those people who have sent him. And then the person who is out on the mission must have a message. So three things must a person must have. If he's really on a mission, he must have a mission, he must be authorized, and then he must have a message. Now, John the Baptist was on a mission. Now, did he have a mission? Of course he had a mission. And was he authorized? Of course he was authorized. He was authorized by the one true living God. And did he have a message? Yes, the message from the one true living God. So he had a message. So verses 6 and 7, please look at the two verses. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him, the him here refers to John the Baptist, might believe. Now John was sent from God. The Lord was his authority. Now, John was not sent by a man. But even if he was sent by a man, all right, if he was sent by a man, or if a person was sent by a man, and if the man has got great authority, that person who has been sent has, of course, got to be paid attention to, because he has been sent by a person with authority. Now, the authority backing the person who has been sent is vital. It is absolutely essential. Without the authority, the mission is completely useless, right? No authority, so the mission will be useless. I remember some years back while working for this company that I was working, there was a period in time when the company was losing a lot of money. For 3 years, the company suffered losses. Then one day, a representative from our head office came. He was a senior manager. He came to the Far East, came to Singapore to meet up with us. Yes, and what was his mission? Bad news. His mission was to freeze our salaries. That wasn't very good. But there was a problem. And the problem was this. Although internationally and in the US, the company was doing badly, in the Far East, we were doing well. The economy in Singapore was good. Economy in Hong Kong was good. In the Far East, we were doing well. Our product was selling. And so we thought that the headquarters had really made a very, very bad decision. So the day came for this U.S. representative to meet with us, local management. And then, of course, heading us was our managing director. He was an American. He was completely furious that the U.S. headquarters should be making such a bad decision. And so without any niceties, he was a very bad-tempered man. He challenged this U.S. representative as to why our salaries had to be frozen. And then at the meeting, we discovered something that was good, because the boss who had sent this man to freeze our salaries was not the boss of our managing director. In other words, he didn't have the authority to freeze our salary. And the man who was sent by him obviously didn't have the authority to freeze our salary. And so thankfully that year, our salaries were not frozen. Now, my point is this, the one sent must have the authority to carry out the mission. He's on the mission, but he must have the authority to carry out the mission. Now, John the Baptist was on the mission. Now, did he have the authority to carry out his mission? Of course, we said already, he had a mission. God authorized him, and God gave him a message for his mission. Now, the authority who sent John out on this mission says this of himself. My dear friends, I'd like us to look at this authority that sent John the Baptist. Please turn with me to Isaiah chapter 40, verses 25 and 26. Isaiah 40, but keep your finger at John 1. Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40, verses 25 and 26. Isaiah 40, 25 and 26. Isaiah 40, 25 and 26, I read for you the verses. To whom then will he liken me? Or shall I be equal? Saith the Holy One. So he is the Holy One, the absolutely holy God. Look at verse 26. God says, lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things that bringeth out their host by number? In other words, the heavenly bodies, the stars. Who has created them? He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Yes, he called each one into existence, and he called each one by its name. So you see, this authority that sent John the Baptist was the absolutely holy one, absolutely all-knowing, absolutely all-powerful. This was the authority that sent John the Baptist. Look at that kind of authority that was backing John the Baptist. Yes. Now, like John the Baptist, my dear friends, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we too have a mission. Did you realize that? All of us have a mission who have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. First of all, we have an overall mission. You want to know what that overall mission is? What's our overall mission on this earth, my dear friends? What do you think? Now, friends, the Lord has placed us on this earth for one overall mission, and that is to glorify His holy name. Did you realize that? To glorify His name. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. And that is our mission on this earth, the overall mission. And as 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, Peter says the same thing. All right, that very familiar verse, I read that for you. For you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. He has saved us, called us out of darkness. For what purpose? To show forth the praises of the one true living God. What it means is we are to show forth the attributes of God, show forth the goodness of God, the kindness of God, the love of God, the power of God, the majesty of God. That is what we must be showing, my dear friends, through our lives. In other words, we must glorify the name of the one true living God. And that is our mission on this earth. Yes, God has authorized us to glorify Him. Do we have authority to glorify Him? Yes, because He has said so in His Word. Now, many people in the world think that we are here by accident, that we are no better than animals, and we are to fight, and we are to struggle. But if we don't, we are going to lose out, because in this world, it is a question of survival of the fittest. All right, so we don't struggle, we don't fight, we can't survive. And many people think that we are soulless. We don't have a soul. That at the end of this earthly life of ours, that's it. Everything is over. We just merely disintegrate into dust and we become nothing. Is that so? So they say, well, we have life. What should we do? Now, if you have that kind of thinking, what would you do if on this earth? No mission, nothing. So what would you do? Eat, drink, and be merry. For tomorrow, we die, you see. But that's not what the authority, our Lord and our God, says. He places us here on this earth with this overall purpose, as we said, and that is to glorify His holy name. And He gives us this authority in His Word. In His Word, He records it down for us. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. We are to glorify Him. Now, the words of a person with authority, particularly if the words are written, my dear friends, those words would surely serve as a good enough authority for us to listen to. Yes, so the Word of God recorded for us in Holy Scripture, written, recorded for us in Holy Scripture, is the authority from God. If you want to find out the authority of God, what authority has given us, look at His Word. That's the authority. Now let's go back to the example of the representative from our U.S. head office. Yes, he came that day, and then out of his coat jacket, he brought up a letter. And this letter was written by the boss of my managing director. And the letter says it very, very clearly. All the employees, salaries of all employees in the Far East must be frozen for the year 1993 or something like that. Then what would have happened, my dear friends? Did this man have authority to freeze our salaries? He would have, of course, because a written word had been given to him by the MD's boss. So that man would have authority if he had had that day. Our God has not left us without a written authority. Now, if we want to be sure whether what we are doing is authorized by the one true living God or not, what we need to do is just go back to God's Word. If it is there, it tells us so, then it is authorized by the one true living God. Yes, the Word of God is the authority. And as we said many times now, He tells us in no uncertain terms, we are placed here for the purpose of glorifying Him. So register that, my dear friends. Mission number one, glorify the name of the one true living God. Now, King David recognized the absolute authority of God's Word. All right, I'd like to us to turn to Psalm 138 and verse 2, and you see how much King David recognized the authority of the one true living God. Psalm 138 and verse 2. Please turn to that verse. Now, this is a very, very wonderful verse. I would like us to know this verse and know it well. Psalm 138 and verse 2. Let's read that verse together. Ready? I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Now, did you read that? The last part. Thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. In other words, in God's eyes, what was more valuable to him? What was greater to him? His name or his word? His word, my dear friends. Think of it. Yes, his word is the authority. So if you want to know whether anything has been authorized by him, go back to his word. Now, friends, if your whole mission on this earth is to glorify the name of the Lord, which means to reflect the glory of God. Now, we cannot add glory to God, by the way. God is absolutely glorious. There's no way that we can add to his glory. But we can reflect his glory. Or we can make God more glorious in the eyes of men. All right, that is what is meant by glorifying God. Then we are actually on the right track if we are glorifying the Lord. Yeah, our mission is to author, our mission has been authorized by the one true living God. But if you are not living with the whole purpose of glorifying the name of the Lord, then you are on the wrong track. You are not on the correct mission. And you can be very, very sure that you are on the wrong mission if you have not come to a point in your life where you have repented from your sins and where you have totally surrendered yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ and have allowed him to take over your life. You can be very, very sure, my dear friends, you are on the wrong mission. And I say it again, wrong mission, if you are still living in your sin. You must repent from your sins, my dear friends. Turn to the one true living God and be saved. Only then can you begin to be on the right track. Only then can you begin on the right track. Only then can you begin to be on the right mission to glorify the one true living God. Until then, you have not even begun on this mission to glorify him. Now look at verses 6 and 7 again. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of that light, that all men through him might believe. John, as we said, was a man on a mission. And true, his overall mission was to glorify the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, he said one time, he must increase and I must decrease. So his mission, he understood, was to glorify the name of the Lord. He must increase, I must decrease. Now he was, but then he also had a specific mission. Not only this overall mission, but he had a specific mission. And his specific mission was to bear witness of the light. Verse 7 says so. Yes, the same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light. That was his specific mission. Now the Jews were waiting for their Messiah to come. Yes, from the temple sacrifices and from the sacrifice of the Passover lamb, they all understood that one day, God was going to provide his own sacrifice to save man from the sins of the world. Yes, to save man from their sins. Yes, that God will provide his own sacrifice to take away the sins of the world. Now, John saw himself as being sent by the one true living God. And he saw his being sent by the one true living God as fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. And so he says in John chapter 1, verse 23, he says, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. So he was quoting from the book of Isaiah. He realized that he was the one appointed to be the herald of the Messiah in his first coming. And then when he saw the Lord Jesus Christ, straight away he recognized who he was. Look at John 1:29. Behold, The Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. He was bearing testimony to that light. And so when he saw the Lord Jesus Christ, he recognized him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world." Now John had a specific mission, and that was to bear witness to that light. To bear witness to that light. Now do we have a specific mission? Now if we profess to have belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, all of us must have a specific mission. Yes, true, we have an overall mission, but we also have a specific mission. And John's mission, specific mission, was to bear testimony of that light. Friends, that is our testimony also, to bear testimony of that light. John came and he was the herald of that Messiah in his first coming. But friends, we are also to bear witness of that light. We are to tell the world that this Messiah had already come. 2,000 years ago, he had already come. He died on the cross of Calvary, shed his precious blood for us, was buried, and on the third day he rose up from the dead, and he's coming back again for us. That must be the message that we should be carrying. Yes, and our mission is authorized and empowered by the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you realize that? We have been empowered. We have been authorized. Yes, authorized by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the one who rose up from the dead, to whom all power in heaven and in earth are given. All right, let's turn to Matthew chapter 28. Listen to what the Lord Jesus Christ said with regards to our being empowered. Yes, with regards to our being authorized. Look at Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20. 18 to 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." And you see the mission given to us. We are commissioned. Verse 19. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Yes, we have been authorized, have been empowered, because all power in heaven and in earth is given to this risen Savior of ours. And this commission is given to the church universal, of which every one of us has a part. Yes, and what part are you playing, my dear friends, in this great commission? And that's the question that we must address. What part are you playing? Yes, remember, we have been empowered, we have been authorized to go out, to go forth with the gospel. But what part are we playing, or what part have we been playing? Now, John was sent from God to bear testimony of the Lord. Now, how could he bear an effective testimony? Except that he be true, right? He could not bear a good testimony except that he be true. And indeed, he was faithful and he was true. And he was so fearlessly true that he was arrested for preaching the truth, and then subsequently he was beheaded. Remember, he preached against Herod the Tetrarch, the ruler. Yes, he rebuked him for his adultery. He had married his brother's wife. So he rebuked him, and for that he was arrested, thrown into prison, and subsequently he was beheaded. And this was what the Lord Jesus Christ said of John the Baptist. I'd like us to turn to John 5 and look at verses 32 and 33. All right, we're talking about John being a true witness. John 5:32 and 33. The Lord says this of John the Baptist: "There is another that beareth witness of me," verse 32, "and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true." The Lord Jesus Christ is talking about John the Baptist. Yes, "and the witness which he witnesses of me is true. You send unto John, and he bear witness unto the truth." You know how important it is that the testimony of a person in court be absolutely true. Now, if his testimony is not true or doubtful, yes, that testimony can have a very, very serious impact on the outcome of the case. Now, some years ago, I remember reading the case of this man by the name of Wang Ho Lee. Now, Wang Ho Lee was employed as a nuclear scientist by the U.S. government. Yes, he was an ethnic Chinese. He came from Taiwan. But then there was a time when he was suspected of being a spy for the Chinese government. The U.S. government had suspected that he had stolen secrets and had sold them to the Chinese government. And so 59 charges were brought against him. But finally, the U.S. government had to drop 58 of the 59 charges. Yes, he was only found guilty of one of the charges, but that was really a very, very minor criminal offense. Yes, not worthy of his being put into prison. But before that, he was actually put into prison, put into solitary confinement. Now, because of this miscarriage of justice, the judge had to publicly apologize to Wang Ho Lee on behalf of the American people. And the reason the U.S. government had to drop his case was that the testimony against Wang Ho Lee was doubtful. Yes, all the testimonies were doubtful. And in fact, one of them was definitely false, because this FBI agent who investigated into the case admitted that he had brought a false charge against, had borne a false testimony against Wang Ho Lee. So he was, of course, acquitted. Now, these were, of course, testimonies against Lee. Now, whether they were testimonies against and for Lee, they must be true so that they be able to stand the scrutiny of the court. Yes, the testimonies must be true. Now, friends, just as John the Baptist's testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ was absolutely true, yes, and his was absolutely true, any testimony of any minister for the Lord Jesus Christ must be absolutely true. Yes, they must be speaking the truth. And what is truth, friends? What is truth? Man's word? No, friends. God's word is truth. Thy word is truth. God's word is truth. Today, if a minister were to come to this church and were to teach something that deviates from the word of God, he is not giving a true testimony of the Lord. He is not. No matter how eloquent he is, no matter how well theologically trained he is, no matter how many theological degrees he has, no matter how powerful his Greek is or his Hebrew is, he is a false witness, because he is not bearing a true testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now today you sit here, you nod your head, you say, yeah, what you say is true, you know. I will surely not be deceived. If a false preacher were to preach from this pulpit, I'll be able to pick him up very readily. No problem at all. He's preaching falsehood. I know it right away. You think you'll be able to do that? Now the Lord warns us many times, many, many times over, that many false witnesses, false teachers in the last days will come into the church as wolves in sheep's clothing. And I can tell you that when they come, you will be very, 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 very impressed by them. These wolves in sheep's clothing. You'll be very impressed by them. They'll be very, very effective in preaching. They will appear to be so kind. They will appear to be preaching from God's word, because they'll be quoting scriptures also. They'll be so approachable, so people-oriented, so dynamic, so knowledgeable. You will be thoroughly impressed by them. Be careful, friends. The Lord says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 24, "For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, in so much that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." Even the elect could be deceived. So bear this in mind. So don't be so confident today and so nod your head, yeah. I'm sure when they come, I can identify them. We'll sack them out of the church right away. Friends, not so simple, all right? Now, but how can we be so discerning to make sure that we will not be deceived? No other way. Absolutely no other way, except that you study the Word of God yourself and know the truth, so that when falsehood is presented to you, you know that it's false. Yes. Now you remember the case of the great apostle Paul. We said that many times. He came to this city of Berea to preach the gospel to the Bereans. Now, they were Jews, of course. And when Paul preached the gospel to them, they were very receptive of the gospel. You know why they were very receptive of the gospel? Because they studied God's word. The word of God tells us that they daily studied God's word. And so when Paul preached, they referred to their Old Testament to find out whether Paul was really teaching the truth or not. And when they discovered that Paul was preaching the truth, they agreed with him and they were converted. And many were saved. Yes, because they looked into God's word and realized that Paul was teaching the truth. Now, like the Bereans, that is what we must do. Study God's word. Know God's word. So that when false preachers come before us, we'll be able to identify them right away. Now, we ourselves, by our lives, must also give a true testimony that Jesus is indeed the Son of God, and that He is the Savior of the world, and that He's alive today, and that He's coming for us someday. Head knowledge of the truth is not good enough. Not good enough. Yes, how could we tell people the power of the blood of Christ, the power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, if we just register this power in our head, that's all. But we don't show forth this power in our lives. Can we tell people about the power of the Lord Jesus Christ? We can't, my dear friends. We surely can't. We surely can't. Will people trust our testimony? Yes, we say something, but we may not be practicing the something that we say. Yes, people will not tell us, but they want us to prove. They won't tell us, but they want us to prove that what we say is true by our lives. So, friends, let me ask you, and let me ask myself, are we all showing forth a good testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we? Don't think that people are just watching what we say, all right? They're watching what we do as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. A preacher one day boarded a bus, and then he paid the fare, and the conductor, bus conductor, gave him a 50 cents change instead of 20 cents. In other words, he got 30 cents extra. So this preacher was very minded that at the end of the trip, he will return the 30 cents to the bus conductor. So he arrived at his destination, walked up to the conductor, and gave him back the 30 cents. The conductor was very pleased. He smiled and he said, "I'm very, very thankful that you did that. Because last Sunday I was in your church, you were preaching, and the topic you were preaching was the power of the gospel, how the power of the gospel can cause a dishonest person to become honest. So I'm very, very glad that you did that. I purposely gave you 50 cents instead of 20 cents, just to test you." So my dear friends, understand this too. Okay, people are watching us, not just watching what we say, but watching what we do, to see whether what we do matches what we say. Now, as a man with a mission, John the Baptist must have a message for his mission. He must have a message. And his message must serve the purpose of his bearing witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. All men through him, through John the Baptist, might believe. Now, what was the message that John the Baptist was carrying as for his mission? Now, there are several parts in his message, but I think there are two striking parts. And the first part is given to us in John chapter 1, verse 29, the verse that we have been quoting. All right, I read for you again. "The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me." All right, that was the first part of his message. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. When the Lord Jesus Christ came to the river Jordan to be baptized by him, this was what he said: "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Now look at another part of his message, and I'd like us to turn to Matthew chapter 3, verse 7. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 7. Matthew 3 and verse 7. "But when John," the he here refers to John, "but when John saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. In other words, his message was this: repent and bring forth fruits of repentance. Repent and bring forth fruits of repentance. His message was to direct men, women, and children to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now don't forget, John himself was a very popular figure. Remember? And that is why when the crowd came to him, he had to say, he must increase, I must decrease. He was a popular figure. But he was directing the attention of all the people, the focus of the people, to this Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. And that was the message John had. The Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, repent from your sins and bring forth fruits of repentance. Friends, in our witnessing, like John, we must direct the attention of people that we are speaking to the Christ of the Bible, the Lord Jesus Christ. Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. How unlike John the Baptist, today many preachers of mega churches are. When they speak, you can see that the whole proceeding that they have when they are on stage is practically stage managed. And that's true. Bright lights are focused on the preacher, and then he looks more like a movie and TV star. Isn't it true? Yes. And the focus is not on the Lamb of God. The focus is on the star that is on stage, the preacher. And the message is not on the Lamb which taketh away the sin of the world. The focus is on what? Health and wealth. The focus is on healing. The focus is on performance of miracles. And then there will be the music and all the songs, and all these are directing people to focus on those things that we've been talking about. Yes, healing, health, wealth, miracles. But friends, let's understand that even if miracles are performed, really performed, that doesn't mean that the message is true. Did you realize that? And the Word of God gives us this teaching, that even if miracles are performed, the teaching may still not be true. I refer you to Deuteronomy chapter 13. All right, Deuteronomy chapter 13. And let's look at verses 1 to 3. Deuteronomy chapter 13, verses 1 to 3. I read for you the verses. If, verse 1, if there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder. In other words, a miracle is performed. And the sign or the wonder come to pass. In other words, the miracle definitely is performed, was really performed. Whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them, because these are the gods that perform the miracles. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet, or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God proveth you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. So even if a miracle is performed, it does not mean that the message is true. Not necessarily. Yes, if the miracle is not going to bring you to the one true living God, but direct you to some other gods. Now, so to determine whether the message is true or not, we must ask questions. When you go and listen to messages, we must ask questions to find out, to determine whether the message is true or not. First, does the message direct us to the Lamb of God? Now, which Lamb of God? The Lamb of God of the Bible, the Christ of the Bible. Very, very important. The Christ of the Scripture, not any other Christ. And does it direct you to love the Lamb of God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Yes. And does it direct you to repent from your sins and to bring forth fruits of righteousness and fruits of repentance? If it does not, and it just causes you to have a very, very good feeling. You come away from the meeting feeling very good and feel that you have been blessed and you think that you had a very, very good experience, you can be very sure that the message is false. It didn't direct you to the Christ of the Bible, the Lamb of God of the Bible. The star preacher you saw on stage, my dear friends, was a false witness. Now, John the Baptist was a man sent from God. As we said, he had a mission. He had authorization for his mission, and he had a message for his mission. Mission from God, message from God, commissioned by God. Now look at the desired result of John's mission. Verse 7. What's the desired result? The desired result is this, that all men through John the Baptist might be saved. It is God's will that all men who came to John the Baptist might be saved upon hearing the message that he preached. Now, doesn't this remind us of 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, which says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, but is, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, on the day of judgment, when you stand before the great white throne of God, I trust you will not stand before the great white throne of God, because if you stand before the great white throne of God, you're finished. You will be judged as a condemned sinner. But friends, if you were to stand before the great white throne on that day, you cannot blame God for not saving you. Yes, it is his will that all should come to repentance. But today, you hear the message. I do not know your hearts today, my dear friends. I see you on the Lord's Day, but I really don't know your hearts. But if you choose to reject the offer of salvation given by the one true living God, you are responsible for the consequences. You cannot blame God. You yourself are to be blamed. In yesteryears, God made use of John the Baptist to bring the message of salvation to the people who came to him. Then over the ages, over the centuries, yes, God has sent messages, messengers after messengers to carry out that mission that he has committed them to carry out, to bring this message across to them, to people to hear the truth of God, the gospel of God. And today, by the grace of God, I stand here before you, bringing that same message to you. No different, my dear friends, it's the same message. Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Repent and bring forth fruits of righteousness and fruits of repentance. Now the question is, will you hear this message? Or is it just one of those things? My dear friends, I trust that you will not dismiss this message if you have not responded to this message yet. And surely, John the Baptist had this desire that all who came to hear him might be saved. Like John the Baptist, all of us are placed on this earth saved with a purpose. And that purpose, as we said, is to glorify his holy name. And surely one of the best ways for us to glorify his holy name is to have this desire that all those whom we come into contact with will come to trust Jesus as Lord and Savior and be saved. Friends, if you do not have this desire, pray to the Lord that you will have this holy desire, so that in time, among those people who come into contact with you, there will be those who come to trust Jesus as Lord and Savior. Now, as John the Baptist was sent from God, let us realize that all of us here who have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior are also sent from God. It was not by chance that we came to trust Jesus as Lord and Savior. He saved us in accordance to his eternal purpose. As John the Baptist, God has his authority. Do we have God as our authority? Yes, we have been empowered, we have been authorized. And God's word is his authority for us. He says it very clearly, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. We are to glorify him. And he tells us, go, share the gospel with others. That is a specific mission that he has given to us. Be his witnesses, a specific mission for us. Yes, and then through our lives and through our word, we are also to testify that the Lord Jesus Christ is indeed the Son of God, the risen Savior, and that he lives in us. All right, we are not just to register this power of the Lord Jesus Christ in our head, but we are to live up this power, show that this power is indeed true and is operating in our lives. And finally, the message of John's mission is the same as the one that we ought to be carrying today. And the message is this: behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Trust in him, repent from your sins, and bring forth fruits of repentance and fruits of righteousness. Amen. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have given us a mission, and that is to glorify your holy name. And Lord, we thank you also that you have given us a very specific mission, and that is to be your witnesses. O Lord, we pray that we may not fail, but that we may do well for you, to shine for you. And Father, we pray that we may all remember that we have this same message. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And we pray that we may be bold enough to proclaim this message and to invite people to come to trust Jesus as Lord and Savior, and to urge them to repent from their sins. Father, we pray that you will bless us with this holy desire to bring men, women, and children to you. In Jesus' blessed name we pray and give thanks. Amen.